chapter of the book of Romans. It says in this 19th verse of the 4th chapter, it's speaking about Abraham, the father of the faithful, and said, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And of course, we understand, I think, that God promised Abraham a son, and Abraham waited patiently for it, and come down to the fact that he was about 100 years old and his wife was about the same age or a little less maybe, and he believed the promise that God said that he would not let him go childless but give him a son. So being not weak in faith, he believed that God would do it in spite of the impossibility as to human frailty. He considered not his own body now dead as to being able to bring about life through the womb of Sarah, and she being dead too. But he staggered not at the faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Turn with me a few moments here this evening to that 4th chapter of the book of Romans, and I'll read this 25th verse and try to make some comments. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification? Speaking certainly of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was delivered unto the enemies, to the Pharisees and the scribes, to Pilate, high priest. They said, we don't want you. Who do you want? The custom was at this time of the year that we turn one of the prisoners loose. Who do you want? Barabbas or Jesus? They said, we don't want Jesus. We want Barabbas. They said, well, Jesus is your king. They said, no, we have no king but Caesar. We don't want him. He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Raised again for our justification means that it was a verification of our deliverance from the penalty due us as sinners. It's a verification that we become the recipients of his righteousness, which was freely imputed to us. who believe. But this morning we talked about a risen Christ. A Christ who died and was buried and rose again and ever lives on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for those that have risen with Him. I told you about those disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. Well, it was a risen Christ with whom they accompanied during the 40 days. He went in and out among them. A risen Christ, a Christ that had lived and suffered and died and was buried, but He rose from the dead. It was a risen Christ that accompanied them for 40 days, in and out. A risen Christ. And now, and I make mention of the fact, now is now. It is now with a risen Christ that we have to do in the pathway of our daily journey from this life to the life to come. A risen Christ, a Christ that lived and died, was buried, and rose again and is alive. It's with a risen Christ that we have to do even now. A risen Christ. Christ crucified, buried, but risen from the dead. A risen Christ. So at every turn of the way, resurrection meets us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and says to us, because I live, ye shall also live. Because I live, ye shall also live. And every turn in the road that comes up to meet us, because I live, ye shall also live. There is comfort and security in that fact of the resurrection. Brings about a peace of mind and a peace of conscience, a comfort, a help, a strength to enable us to face life's darkest moments and difficulties that confront us in this pathway from here to there. That because He lives, ye shall live also. Because He lives, I can't die. That is, I can't die the second death. Because He lives, I'm secure in Him. I can't die the second death. His resurrection. Because I live, you live too. So I have no doubt whatsoever that when I come down to the last mile of the way, and I use we, who are believers in the Lord Jesus, believe that He did actually in His own body pay what we owe, supplied our want, provided our every need, clothed us in His own righteousness, made us accepted in Himself. All of us, if we believe, if we believe that Christ rose from the dead. We're secure. Secure. And it's not presumption. It's not presumption. It's based on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It's not presumption to say the words of Christ, because I live, ye shall live also. He said, I lived and I died and I rose again. I'll never die. And because I lived and died and rose again, ye shall also live. It's with this risen life that true faith connects us with Him from the very moment we believe in Him who lived and died and rose again. Well, let's mention some things here that has to do with the security of the risen life. Now, this life that is ours in Christ, the risen Christ, it's not a mere life that comes out of nothingness as the life of the first Adam. When God made Adam, He made him out of nothing. He made him out of the dust of the earth. So this risen life that we have in Christ is not made out of nothingness, but it's life out of death. And in this life, the Scriptures say that this life that comes out of death is a fuller and higher life than another life might be. It's more secure. The soil out of which the tree of immortality comes is not the common soil of this earth. It's the mold of the graveyard. It's the dust of the tomb. This life is a life that no death can touch. We'll die here. But at the same time, we still have a life that can never die. We have a life beyond this life. We have it now. We must die. It's appointed unto man first to die and then the judgment. We all got to go back to the dust unless the Lord comes first and takes us before we die. But apart from that, we're all going to die this one death, which I told you the other night, sister. It's a sleep. That's all it is. It's just falling asleep in Jesus. We ought not to fear it, because all of us like to sleep and all of us like to rest, and none of us is afraid of sleep. So that's what our death is, that death there, that first death. We're going to, it's a transition. We're going to be with Him. But there is this life that comes out of His risen, His resurrection life. It's a life that cannot be touched by death in any shape, form, or manner. We're secure. It comes to us from the risen life of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and ever lives in the right hand of God to hear our prayers and to make intercession for us. This faith that connects us with Him, the risen Savior, that joins us with Him, makes us a partaker of His resurrection life, and It's so complete that His resurrection becomes ours along with Him. We are risen with Him, and with Him we have put on immortality. Immortality. That is, no end to it. No end to it. Secure in the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the ages to come, throughout the worlds to come, throughout the eternality of God Almighty. We reign and live with the Lord Jesus Christ, risen with Him, died with Him, lived with Him, died with Him, buried with Him, raised again with Him. A risen Christ, a living Christ, not a dead Christ. Don't run over to Jerusalem looking for the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you found it, what would you find? It's an empty tomb. He's not here. He's risen. A risen Christ is who we deal with now. Oh, He said concerning His resurrection life, He said that all power in heaven and earth is given unto Me. All power. Said that to His disciples. And the same power that's given to Me, said, I give to you. All authority, all power. This power He possessed when He came forth from that tomb. Power of an endless life. No more, like I told you this morning, no more suffering, no more persecution. It's all over with. Oh, my soul. The more that a man dwells and thinks about, as I view it anyhow, the more we talk about it, meditate on it, think about it, read about it, dwell on our surety's resurrection. Our surety's resurrection, that he was dead and buried, but He rose again. The more we dwell on that, the more that we're going to realize the life and immortality which has been brought to light by His gospel. The more we dwell on that, we'll be anchored firm and deep in the Savior's love. And when we read where it says, because I live, ye shall also live, it'll bolster our confidence. It'll give strength to our weakness. It'll help us in dark days which lies ahead. And when we have to travel down lonesome roads and walk these roads by ourselves without any help, to think and to dwell upon the risen Christ, that we're risen with Him. And we live now and shall never die and be with Him forever. Oh, the more we go to the empty tomb and see for ourselves that He's not there, He's risen, the more comfort we'll have, more understanding we'll have, the better servants we'll be, the more we will love Him. As we go to the tomb and see that it's empty. See it for ourselves. He's risen. He's not there. Ah, oh, we ought to be comforted by the great and wonderful truth that we're risen with Him. Risen from the grave with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, true faith, and only true faith, which is a gift of God, by the way, only true faith will connect us to the risen one. True faith, the gift of God. And true faith is this. It might not mean as much to some of you as it does to others. But to have a good scriptural understanding of what true faith is in the risen one will be of a great help to you as you travel down this highway to death. True faith. If you've got your pencil, you write it down. True faith is the acknowledgement of the entire absence of all goodness in us. That's what true faith is. The acknowledgement of the entire absence of all goodness in us. And the recognition of the Christ of the cross as the substitute for all of our want. The Bible says there in this fourth chapter, it says, not to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. That's a good verse. Now to him that worketh, that's a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, him that worketh not, faith is the acknowledgement of the entire absence of all goodness in us. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, faith does not save us. Faith is not our physician. Faith is not even our medicine. Faith only administers that which Christ has done for us, but does not save us. But in the sense, faith saves us because it owns and believes in the salvation, the complete salvation of another. Faith always owns that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Faith owns that, recognizes that, and believes that. Now, faith saves because it owns the complete salvation of another. Not because it contributes anything to that salvation. The whole work of salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ, not ours. It's His from the start to the finish, from the beginning to the end. It's His. Faith does not believe in itself. Faith believes in the Son of God. And it's this faith that connects us to the living Christ. Faith, I've said this many times, faith is like the beggar. It receives everything, but gives nothing. The song of faith is, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according through His mercy hath He saved us. Now, it's Christ and Christ alone from first to last, beginning to end. Now, we believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus. We believe that when He said to His disciples, if I go, I'll come again and receive you, take you with me. Where I am, that's where you'll be. We believe that He's going to come again one someday. The end of all that we see now is going to come to an end. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the conqueror of death, the deliverer of the captives from the prison house, He's going to come for His people. Everything in this world now has to do with His people. His people. That's His main concern. His people are His object. And He's going to come for them and take them away from this world. And I believe that. I believe that He's going to come again because He said He was going to come again. So I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that the Lord Jesus Christ is He's going to come just like He went. He went away and He said, marvel not. I'm gone, but He said, I'm going to come again. And He's going to come for His people. Now, I believe that. Christ is coming again in glory and majesty as judge and king. Now, that's true. But we're not justified by the second coming. We're not justified by His second coming. We're justified by His first coming. We're justified by His doing and His dying. That's what justifies us. We believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the second coming don't justify us. We believe in His ascension. That He died and He went to the grave and He came forth from the grave and eventually, finally, at the end of so many days, He departed from this world. Now, we believe in the ascension of Christ, that He went back to heaven and He's on the right hand of the Father. Makes intercession for us. But our justification is not connected to His ascension. Our justification is not connected with His second coming, nor is it connected with His ascension. Now, we believe we believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I've tried to read and to establish the fact that because He was resurrected, we shall be resurrected, and because He lives, we shall live also. We believe in His resurrection, yet our justification is not connected to His resurrection. I'm telling you this, the blood and the resurrection are two different things. The blood is death, but the resurrection is life. Where it says He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, and was raised again for our justification, that's the verification that all is well, that our sins are gone. He raised us to show, give open proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the grave and accepted by the Father with an accepted work. That His work was finished and accepted by God. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our to verify that we are accepted and we are justified. His resurrection doesn't justify us. His blood justifies us. It's His blood. It's all the whole Bible's about the blood. It's the blood of the crucified one that justifies us. The moment that we believe in the Christ of God living for us, dying for us, being raised from the dead for us, and the ramifications in between, the moment that we believe that, that's when we're justified before God. The resurrection doesn't justify us. So we believe His resurrection, yet we're not justified by faith in it. The resurrection was no more, no less than a visible, seen pledge of a justification that was already accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ on the tree. Justified by His person, justified by His work, and justified by His blood. Resurrection of life. The Lord help us to see this. But it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him. Talking about Abraham, He's talking about David. Not just them alone, but for us also. To whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Well, I tell you here this evening, as wicked as I am, I believe in Him. I believe that the Lord Jesus is my surety. And He died, He lived, He died, He was buried, and He rose again, and He ever lives on God's right hand to make intercession for me. I believe the whole scheme, plan, or whatever you want to call it, of the salvation of God was accomplished by Him and Him alone. And I didn't have anything to do with it. Even my believing is of God. I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. But that believing is that which the Holy Spirit produced in me. So it leaves me standing before God like a beggar. I have added not one penny to God's salvation. It's all of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. It's not to Abraham only, but unto us also, if we believe on Him. You believe on Him? I believe most of you do. I believe all of you ought to. Well, the Lord help us. We'll consider ourselves dismissed with the word of prayer.